I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Päivi Räsänen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. That's the beginning of the Alleluia from the Oberammergau Passion Play. Once every 10 years, the people of Oberammergau and elsewhere put on this Passion Play. It has changed over the years, and that's the subject of a recent piece in The Atlantic titled How Hitler's Favorite Passion Play Lost Its Anti-Semitism. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us to respond to that Atlantic column on Hitler's favorite passion play. We'll spend some time with you via email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address talkback@issuesetc.org and the comment line 618-223-8382. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. And Robert Spencer will round it all off as we discuss the rise of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups on the continent of Africa. Joining us to respond to a column in The Atlantic titled How Hitler's Favorite Passion Play Lost Its Anti-Semitism, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, Professor at Large with the 1517, the Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 60 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. He's actually written a chapter in this book about the Oberammergau Passion Play. He joins us from France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Most of our listeners haven't attended the Oberammergau Passion Play, but they have seen Jesus Christ Superstar. How would you compare and contrast those two productions?
Well, the Oberammergau Passion Play is supposed to be an accurate presentation of what the Gospels have to say about Jesus' life. In other words, it's intended to be historically accurate and a full-scale theological presentation of what you get within the four Gospels. Jesus Christ Superstar is a fun production, and my wife and I certainly enjoyed seeing it in London, but it doesn't come to that level at all.
Hitler is quoted in the column in The Atlantic, quote, "It is vital that the Passion Play be continued at Oberammergau, for never was the menace of Jewry been so convincingly portrayed as in the presentation of what happened in the times of the Romans." What's your reaction?
Well, that is simply incorrect. And the continuing criticism of the play in Oberammergau has been based on the notion that the play is anti-Semitic. And obviously, Hitler in 1934 attempted to use the play for his own purposes. But the play itself is not anti-Semitic, and it never has been. The text, traditionally, has been based almost solely on the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, as I'm sure all our listeners are aware, the expression "the Jews" is employed. So the critics have said, what the gospel is doing is condemning the Jews for crucifying Christ. And of course, this is hardly the case. The author of the gospel, of the fourth gospel, was himself a Jew. And Jesus was a Jew, and the apostles were all Jews. So this is just a lot of nonsense. And it's an example of how, and you can see this in The Atlantic, that now what we're doing is looking at the play from a standpoint of political correctness. And we want to make sure that we don't offend anybody. Now, the problem is that Jesus offended people. He offended the Jewish religious leadership. He offended people in the general populace. But that comes along with the preaching of the gospel and what he did for the human race.
The Atlantic columnist writes this, quote, "It does not seem hyperbolic to say that the single most important factor in the play's endurance has been the concerted effort to eradicate its noxious depiction of the Jews," end quote. Do you agree?
No, of course not, because there isn't a noxious presentation of the Jew in the traditional Passion play at all. As we've said, there is material taken directly from the New Testament, especially from the Gospel of John, and some of this material is obviously critical of the Jewish leadership of the time. I mean, Jesus had real problems with the religious leadership of the time. They were there trying to trick him, to get him to make statements that would be self-condemnatory and all of that. And they were trying to show that he was not consistent with the teaching of Moses in the Old Testament, etc., etc. Now, the fact that that is presented in the play is no more anti-Semitic than it is when it's presented in the Bible. I mean, would we revise the Bible in order to eliminate that sort of thing? I'm sure that there are people today who would definitely do this. This attitude is one that says, I want the Bible to say what I want the Bible to say. Now, Jesus and God Almighty did not choose such people to write the Bible. Thank goodness. God wanted to do it his way. By the way, this kind of comment of mine is not something that is limited to the Passion Play or to the New Testament. Whenever you read somebody's work, you've got to take seriously what that person actually is saying. The question is not whether he agrees with you. The question is what he is endeavoring to set forth. And it's perfectly plain that the New Testament is endeavoring to set forth a historical portrait of Jesus. That's what the writers say. Luke says at the beginning of his gospel that he followed all these things closely and he's giving exactly what happened. And it's utterly unhistorical, unscholarly, and I might say journalistic for people like the Atlantic writer to take the position he does.
Oberammergau, the play, it had a new director in 1986 who, according to this columnist in The Atlantic, removed portions of anti-Semitism. Have you noticed a change in the Passion Play's plot or dialogue since 1986?
Oh, yes, very definitely. But the problem isn't so much this writer or other people who've contributed to the revisions. In my opinion, the real problem is with a Dr. Ludwig Müller, M-O-U-L-A-U-T-D-L, who is acting in behalf of the Cardinal Archbishop Marx and acted as a theological advisor to the last three versions of the play. And it's painfully obvious that this fellow has swallowed 19th century historical criticism of the New Testament, and that is especially evident now in the fact that throughout the entire play, not a single miracle of Jesus is presented. Jesus doesn't do miracles. Jesus is a political preacher of peace and harmony. And that kind of thing has come about because there hasn't been a proper theological advisor for the play. In the good old days, at Oberammergau, the peasants, the locals, were the ones who determined the content. And I have no idea why under the sun the situation has deteriorated to the point where this representative of the archbishop has come to insert himself into the situation.
Give us the history of the Oberammergau Passion Play.
Well, it began in 1634. There was a plague at that time, and the populace prayed that they would not suffer death in the populace there of the town as a result of this. And they vowed to do this play concerning the Passion of Christ forever, that they would always do it. And from the time they first performed this during the time of the plague, there were no deaths in that community, although there were deaths in surrounding communities. And the play has been performed in general on the decade year ever since 1634. So normally the play would take place in 1970, 1980, 1990, and so forth. It also has always been done again on the exact anniversary of the original plague. So on the 34 and 84 years, you know, 1984, there has also been a production of the play. But that's been the same kind of production as has taken place on the decade years. The play's always been performed by the locals. They have used some professional singers as lead singers, but in general, it's entirely a local production.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest, responding to a column in The Atlantic titled How Hitler's Favorite Passion Play Lost Its Anti-Semitism. When we come back, the plot of the play. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Making Disciples for Life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring, Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
All four gospel writers tell the story of Jesus' baptism in slightly different ways, in slightly unique ways. Does this mean, then, that there are contradictions in the accounts of Jesus' baptism? Certainly not. But if you've ever had this question or others related to it about other stories of the Bible, you should pick up a copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, Breathed Out by God, where we talk about these seeming contradictions of Scripture. To get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
It's August, and time to look forward to the academic year. Ad Crucem has just what you need to beautify your classroom, at home or school. We've crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, Luther's Daily Prayers, Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Athanasian Creed, Liturgical Calendar, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Responding to an Atlantic column titled How Hitler's Favorite Passion Play Lost Its Anti-Semitism, with Dr. John Wart Montgomery, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Apparent Contradictions in the Bible is the theme of the August edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It covers the baptism of Jesus, Paul and James on justification, Paul's conversion stories in Acts, the creation accounts in Genesis, and more. An annual print and digital subscription is less than $20. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Montgomery, what is the plot of the Passion Play?
Well, it presents the ministry of Christ from his birth to his death and originally his resurrection. Now there is no resurrection in the play. During these last three seasons, instead of a resurrection, you have people with candles. And this obviously is an attempt to eliminate the miraculous. And there is in the preface to the playbook, the statement, which was probably written by this awful theological advisor, and this says, and I should quote this, I think this is worth quoting, "The tribute to the celebration of light during the Easter Vigil Mass, the music and reserved visual staging emphasize the character of the numinous and the incomprehensible holiness. Thus, the final scene of the play emphasizes the theological principle, the resurrection is a mystery of faith." The resurrection is a mystery of faith. It is not a mystery of faith in the slightest. It is presented as a historical event in the Gospels on exactly the same basis as the birth of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the teaching of Christ, his death, his crucifixion. There is absolutely no attempt to turn the resurrection into something super historical. This sounds like Bart Brunner and the neo-Orthodox talking about super history, Geschichte and not history and all this kind of thing. And it's obvious that somebody, either the writers or the theological advisor, have swallowed this kind of neo-orthodoxy at best and 19th century liberal theological criticism at worst.
So in terms of faithfulness to the Bible, how faithful is the current Oberammergau play?
Well, there is a great deal that is faithful. For example, they have scenes interspersed, and this has been true of the play through its entire history, scenes interspersed representing Old Testament events. And these events are really types or antitypes of what goes on during the ministry of Christ. So, for example, the serpent raised in the wilderness and that sort of thing. And this is wonderful. I mean, people will see the connection between Old Testament and New Testament through this. And the music is magnificent. The singing, the soloists, and the choir are worth listening to no matter what. Now, of course, it's all in German, and they unfortunately do not provide a bilingual playbook. You get the playbook either in English or in German, but not in both. And that makes it particularly difficult in the case of the singing to follow exactly what is being said. If, you know, if one is not awfully fluent in German, and there is the Bavarian dialect to contend with as well. But in general, the play follows the life of Christ accurately. It does not present a genuine New Testament picture of Jesus because Jesus is not presented as performing any miracles. In the scenes with Nicodemus, there's no mention of the new birth. There isn't any statement of the gospel. He never says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And therefore, the non-Christian in viewing this could very well see Jesus as little more than a Jewish prophet who had great influence in his time and was in favor of peace and would not go to war against the Romans. And Judas is presented as betraying Christ because Christ does take the kind of pacifist position that Judas doesn't agree with.
Do you agree with the columnist's assertion that more reforms need to be made to the Oberammergau Passion Play?
Well, yes, I would like to see it restored to its classic form, preceding the presence of the current theological advisor and all his works and all his ways. I would like to see the thing back to the way it was, say, in 1960. I myself have attended now 7 performances of the Passion Play, if you can believe it. And I, therefore, have benefited from those versions of it, which certainly should be regarded as classic today, versions in which you have Jesus there after Easter morning, and you have the scene of the soldiers at the tomb and the details that are given in the gospel resurrection accounts. And it seems to me that if that kind of revision took place, the play would be so much stronger and so much more faithful to the gospel record. We certainly do not need any more changes in the direction of the last 3 performances. The fact of the matter is that now they've introduced so much political correctness, there's no telling what might happen in the next evolution of the play or devolution of the play. What are we going to have there? Are we going to have some of the disciples as homosexuals? What could they possibly do to this? So it would be best if they returned to the classic form of the play and stopped messing around with it.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517 The Legacy Project and director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's authored and edited more than 60 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome.
Folks, the 2023 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights is July 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France. Learn more on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. On the other side, we're going to talk about the difference between adult and infant baptisms. What is inerrant in Scripture, just the ideas or actually the words, and the relationship between Holy Communion and confession and absolution? It'll be Issues Etc. listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line next.
I hope, just by looking at some of these points, we recognize the pressure on us to be silent, but also the cost.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, making the case against Christian silence at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That I am fairly certain that I will one day die. If the Lord returns before I die, then to God be the glory. But I expect that one day I will die. I want to die talking.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Moeller's teaching and all of the presentations from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org. www.christ.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois; Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas; Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas; Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio; Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas; Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia; Redemption Lutheran, Battle Creek, Michigan; St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan; Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas; and Redeemer Lutheran, Huntington Beach, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.